it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The best, Major Garrett, is with us, like all of our guests, like Jimmy Galliano. Major is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're coming up in about 24 hours since Charlie Kirk was engaging in a debate on ideas at Utah Valley State, and he was brutally killed. As someone who's been a part of Washington, D.C., covering it for years, what stood out to you most about the reaction in D.C. to the murder of Charlie Kirk?
Not much stood out to the reaction, because it has and did follow lines that are becoming all too ritualistically followed. We condemn violence in a bipartisan way. We ask that we grieve as a nation. And then bit by bit, incrementally, within 24 to 48 hours, we move on. And what is striking to me in this moment is that some writers have suggested this might be a watershed moment. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. There have been plenty of opportunities going all the way back to Gabby Giffords in a shopping center in Arizona to have a watershed moment for this nation to collectively and individually turn away from politically motivated violence. And we have not, quite the opposite. I hope this is a watershed moment. I hope it is, for all concerned, a time to say that what is at play in America is a kind of false argumentation that if you don't win an election, the dangers to you are so pronounced that you have no other alternative but to treat those who won the most recently decided election as your enemies, and to think of them and to describe them as your enemies, and to reduce them to a place of some human existence in your social media feeds, in your conversations with others, or in actions that you might take. And what the founders of this country bequeathed to us and gave to us as a sacred, sacred gift is the ability to live differently than any society before. No society constructed before ours made the choices that we made, which is to resolve our differences in a political atmosphere bounded by a constitution, and not to resort to violence, not to resort to a system where who your father was determined your entire economic, political, religious destiny, that you had the freedom to choose lots of things, and with that freedom came responsibilities, a responsibility to keep this bequest from our founders going. And one of the key obligations of that is to do so peacefully, peacefully, not contentedly, but peacefully.
No,
and there's,
exactly.
There's a false construct in our conversation now that it doesn't have to be peacefully, or that if you're peaceful and civil, you're somehow a coward. And that's not true. That is hostile to the truth, and it's hostile to our history, to our better history, not to all of our history, but to our better history.
Here is another false construct, in my opinion, too, Major, that if an individual is in some sort of role, whether as a politician, a pundit, in some way, if he or she has very strong, passionate views, but still can deliver them with respect, that somehow they're lumped in with others who offer up hateful rhetoric, when that couldn't be further from the truth. When you get to some individuals who clearly are not bothered in any way by violence, automatically condemn the others, to somehow tie those folks with individuals who put in some work and put in some thought and express disagreements which is the key part of our freedom of speech, which, by the way, whether you agreed or not with Kirk, when he was on campuses or engaging with Gavin Newsom on a podcast or Bill Maher on his podcast, that's precisely what was taking place. And that is dramatically different from immediately condemning any sort of comments that might have been passionate and might have had facts, but because it's not on your team, you are now my enemy. You're instantly someone I don't want to associate with.
Right. And that takes political differences and political divisions to an unsustainable level. Because if you can't coexist, and if you can't cooperate, and if you can't view someone who you differ with politically as part of the American experience, then this all begins to break down. And not only does the American experiment begin to break down, the ideas and the basic glue of a civilization begin to break down. And what our founders and the creators of this country aspired to was not just a civilization, but a civilization that aspired to things. Did it achieve all the things it aspired to and wrote down in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? No, it didn't. And it was a hard struggle to realize some of the things that we aspired to, but that we left out. That's been a part of our struggle. And lots of people, whether it's for labor rights or civil rights or other kinds of rights in our country, either got beat up, some of them were killed, some of them were jailed. Those were struggles, real struggles, but in pursuit of something that was aspirational, that reached for our best intentions. And when I've traveled the country, traveled the world rather, Chad, covering many presidents of the United States, and I've always said one of the great privileges, probably the greatest privilege of my life next to being a father, one of the things that I always notice when I went to other countries is people would say to me, lots of countries have written things down they aspire to. Your country, in ways other countries don't, doesn't pretend to try to reach that. You actually do try to reach it. You don't play off what you wrote down as just a kind of set of words on paper. You actually take it into yourselves as a country and try to live up to it. Most countries don't do that. Most countries just write it down and say, yeah, and do whatever they want to do. That's one of the things I always took great pride in our country about, that we do try to do these things better. And we think about, is tomorrow in America going to be better than today, collectively and individually? And these spasms of violence do genuine damage to our ability to have that aspiration and the focus required to pursue it.
This is Major Garrett. Let's pause right here. Let's come back, get Major's thoughts on Charlie Kirk and his association with the president and how helpful he was, in particular, in the last election, Donald Trump winning decisively over Kamala Harris, and also what the president had to say in light of the murder of his good friend, Charlie Kirk. Back with Major Moments. I want to talk Pella right now and just say I am very fortunate to have a number of sponsors who I have worked with for an extended period of time. With Pella, the previous home I was in, I was not the original builder, but I moved in within a few years. The other couple had to move, and I benefited because they had made the effort, paid the money to have Pella windows and doors at the house. And for almost 20 years, it worked out very effectively, including when I stopped at the showroom in Plymouth a couple years ago, decided to have them come out, decided to work with the radio station, and they replaced some windows in the house and pretty significantly changed my kitchen. Well, I wasn't thinking about moving then. It turned out it was the right time. And when I moved in another house, guess what I made sure of? Pella windows and doors. Showrooms, the one I went to in Plymouth, Woodbury, Brooklyn Park. You can go online, PellaNorthland.com, and have them come out to your cabin, your home, your condo for free, and they'll give an assessment of your place. Right now in September, pretty good offer to say the least, 0% APR for 48 months or $250 off qualifying windows and $500 off qualifying doors. Pick your option. You'll love it. You'll go with the best. PellaNorthland.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We return to the conversation with our friend Major Garrett. Of course, we're talking about the murder of Charlie Kirk. The FBI still looking for a person of interest, and some reports also potentially a second person on the roof where the shooting took place, about 200 yards from where Kirk was starting his speech and the give and take, which was going to take place. Amplify a little bit on Turning Point USA and the role it played with younger voters with the president in his victory in 24. He did a number of things differently. You know, he talked about his son and the ideas, talked about TikTok, talked about going on Joe Rogan. But in seeing multiple reports, just reminded me of just the enormous differences, Major, from the 20 election and the 24 election. In the swing states where Joe Biden and Donald Trump battled, those seven key swing states, in the 24 election, Donald Trump improved with younger voters over 20 points. And I'm not saying Charlie Kirk was the only reason, but if you want to look at the most dominant reasons why, and you're looking for individuals who played a role, Charlie Kirk has to be high on that list.
Charlie Kirk is high on that list. We had on the takeout last night, Michael Whatley, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, now a candidate for Senate in the state of North Carolina. I asked him, is there a second Trump term without Charlie Kirk? His answer very simply was no, there isn't.
Wow.
There just isn't. And you described the seven states. Let me just let people know what Trump won them by. Trump won Georgia by 126,000 votes. North Carolina by 90,000, Pennsylvania by 200,000, Wisconsin by 50,000, Michigan by 234,000, Arizona by 197,000, Nevada by 79,000. All of those numbers are larger than any margin of victory in the previous two elections in those swing states, either for Trump in 2016 or Biden in 2020. Something happened, and Charlie Kirk, during COVID, did a lot of soul searching, did a lot of reading, and believed that during COVID decisions were made and ideas were let loose in this country that he formidably opposed. I don't agree with all the things that Charlie Kirk said about COVID, the 2020 election, Martin Luther King, a lot of other things. But what he did was, instead of working with inside the Trump campaign and writing ads or becoming a lobbyist or things like that, he decided to go to college campuses and talk to possibly like-minded people, but also just young people in general, and be kind of an evangelist for this populist, nationalist, conservative ideology and see what would happen. And he found a following, and that following grew, and it was accelerated by social media. And in addition to that, he didn't just, if you will, preach. He decided to put it into practical political application, registering people to vote and mobilizing them when it was time to vote. And he learned a lot of lessons in the 2022 midterms where Republicans underperformed, and he got more aggressive about the mobilization. He embraced early voting and voting by mail, things that Republicans were still very downcast about.
He was, including the president.
Including the president, still is now. One of his legacies in 2024 is use every legal means available to identify voters, have them fill out their ballots, and to participate. That is the essence of prevailing in politics, outworking those with whom you are opposed, outworking them, persuading, and being willing to stand up for what you believe in. And this is what also Charlie added, which is what made him not only visible, but a voice of persuasion. He would take on critics and say, prove me wrong. Tell me why I think is wrong from your perspective. Sometimes he persuaded them. Sometimes they persuaded him. But whatever, it was an open, visible dialogue. That was kind of new. It's not new in America, but it was new in our modern era. And during one of those exact exchanges is when a public murder occurred.
Yep.
In Orem, Utah, of all places. Mm-hmm. There's no place in America where, oh, that would be commonplace. I'm not suggesting that it is, but it was a public murder. And I
last thing, let me jump in, sir.
To one of the eyewitnesses, and their level of trauma about it is almost indescribable, and understandably
so. Yeah, understandably so. We have about 2.5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously watched the president. You discussed it. Following him as closely as you have since 2015, as expected, and what else stood out to you when the president addressed the nation yesterday?
To say that radical left Democrats are directly responsible and that his administration will take every effort to find anyone like that comes very close to suggesting that there will be a policing of speech and a kind of crackdown about anything that opposes the administration. In the context, it was worrisome to me that the president would go in that direction, to what I just said a moment ago and what those on the right and left are lionizing about Charlie Kirk. He was willing to engage in public debate and discourse, to have people disagree with him in public, and to accept that as an essential, rational, and necessary part of the American experience. I don't think it would be in honor of Charlie Kirk to crack down on speech in America as a way to honor him. And it sounded like the president was...
It would be the opposite, that. Right?
It would be the opposite. And it sounded like the president was moving in that direction in ways, because it was a scripted address, had intention behind it. I don't know how those intentions will manifest, but that part of it left me uneasy.
I am with you 100%. I'm going to expand on that later. I just think he missed a great opportunity to also mention what happened to Gabby Giffords, what happened in this state with the Hortmans,
yes.
And it was all involving individuals who were sympathetic to him and pointing the finger quickly. When I'm not asking him to not have passionate views, but this is a time to be a uniter, and I think he passed on that. Once again, appreciate the flexibility. Thank you so much. I'll be checking out the takeout when I listen to it later today. Thanks, my friend.
Okay, thanks.
Major with us again, the takeout. You can watch it live on the CBS app. You can get it as a podcast, as I do, or when the Twins are playing late, listen to it right here on CCO at 10 p.m. Let's go to CBS and Ari coming up next on CCO.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.